Welcome to Mount Olive First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you for connecting with us. In just a moment, Pastor Jeff will be sharing an uplifting and encouraging message that we pray will inspire you in your walk with God. Our desire at MOF PHC is for you and your family to find hope in Jesus Christ so that He will transform your life. Thanks again for connecting with us. Please contact us if we can help you discover God's purpose for your life. Enjoy the message.
All over the place before this service is over with. I want to just talk to you a few minutes this morning about something that God put on my heart just a couple of weeks ago. And I really felt led and drawn by the Lord to share a series after some study time that I had on a phrase that God put into my heart when I was studying and praying. And the phrase was, something only God can do. Something only God can do. And God just kept bringing that phrase right back into my heart, my spirit. And as He was leading me and guiding me through some study time, I just felt like maybe God is trying to encourage us here at this church. There's some things only God can do. That only God can do. And so I was studying, and it was in the book of Exodus. And that's where I felt the Lord begin to stir my heart about that phrase, something only God can do. Now, we're going to get there in just a minute. But I just want to say a few things before we get there. In the book of Exodus, I know all of you are very familiar with that book in the Old Testament. You have Genesis, then you have Exodus. And in that time of studying, we see there that God's people, they were rescued out of Egypt. They were in bondage. Do you know anybody in bondage today? They were in bondage, but God delivered them out of Egypt, out of that bondage they were in. This is kind of how it hit me. God's people needed rescuing, and God's people needed some relief. And I wonder this morning, on this Sunday morning, is there anybody here that you've ever felt that way before? Have you ever felt like you needed to be rescued out of something? Have you ever felt like you needed some relief from some things that you're walking through in this life? I mean, I think we would all agree there's been times in our life as God's people that we have felt a need that we could be rescued or at least have some relief from what we're walking through. And God's people started crying out to God for help, and God wanted to do something that only He could do. But here's what God really wanted to do. He wanted to deliver them, obviously, but there was something more important that God wanted to do. God wanted His people to know Him more than anything. He wanted them to know Him, more than anything. And God used this man, this servant named Moses, to deliver God's people out of Egypt. But let me just kind of take you to a place here in the book of Exodus. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, I'll have it on the screen as well. Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6. If you got something on your phone, you can pull it up. Hey, you need to be making sure I'm preaching you the truth now. You need to follow along, and you need to say, hey, I know He's telling the truth. He's preaching from the Word. Exodus chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. I'm getting ready to read it to you. God called a man named Moses, who was His servant, to lead God's people out of Egypt. And so he tells Moses to go to Pharaoh. Pharaoh's the leader of Egypt. And he goes to Pharaoh and he starts making these requests that You need to let God's people go. And Pharaoh, I mean, if you've read the story, I'm sure you have many times, you would know that he thought they had too much time on their hands, and now they're being nitpicky, they're lazy. So he encouraged the slave drivers there in Egypt to increase the workload on the on God's people. And so it made things worse. When Moses went to Pharaoh to request that God's people be freed, it made things worse for him. And so Moses thinks, you know what, I need to go back to the Lord and have a conversation. I mean, you called me and you told me to go to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh has hardened his heart and he's made things worse for us. So he has this conversation with the Lord, Moses does. And in verse 1 of Exodus 6, we pick up on this conversation. Now, here's what I want you to notice before I read this. God is more interested in us knowing him, than he is doing only what he can do in our life. We have to know him before we can actually see what he can do in our life. So I want you to follow along here, and I want you just to pick up on those things here. This is the conversation between the Lord and Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses, after Moses had been through all he had, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh." You will see it. "For with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land." And God spoke to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name Lord I was not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, in which they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments." Here we go, verse 7. "I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know," say no, "you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord." God is more interested in us knowing who he is. And church, we need to know who God is if we're going to believe and see him do something that only he can do. We need to know who he is before we can believe and see the things that only he can do. And we need to know this morning, and we've already been singing it, is how great our God is. The psalmist said in Psalm 145:3, he says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." The Lord said in Jeremiah, talking about knowing God and his greatness, the Lord said to Jeremiah, "But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For these I delight, says the Lord." Church, hear me this morning, please. God has a desire for us to know him. Before we can see him do only what he can do, he has a desire for us to know the one true living God. And I wonder this morning, could it be that we're missing out on more miracles because we don't truly understand and know how great our God is? Could it be this morning that we're missing out on experiencing God more in our life because we don't truly understand and know how great our God is? If you know God, the Bible says you will stand firm with a strong faith and you will see him do only what he can do. I love what Daniel said in Daniel 11:32. He says this, "But the people who know their God shall stand firm and take action. If you know God, you'll stand firm, even in the craziest times, even in the most chaotic times. If you know God, you truly know the one true living God, you will stand firm. And I just want to say to you this morning that it would be very beneficial for us, a necessity really, to know God and what He has revealed to us about Himself in His Word. We have a lot of made-up gods today. If you want to know who God is, you need to make sure you're in the Word of God, because His Word reveals who He is. So this morning, over the next 3 hours, I thought I'd wake you up. I want to share with you three attributes of God that will help us know Him and know that there's some things that only God can do. Some things that only God can do. The very first one is we need to know that our God is omnipresent. Our God is omnipresent. Now, that's a crazy word, omnipresent. That word omni, that means all. It means all. So just keep that in mind. We need to know this morning that our God is omnipresent. That means this right here. God is everywhere always. God is everywhere always. I heard it said like this before. There's no place and no space that is without God. There's no place and no space that is without God. Only our God, He is so great. Only our God can be in Mount Olive, North Carolina in this service, and at the same time, He can be in a service in the jungle of Africa. That's how great our God is. He's omnipresent. He can hear every single person, every single moment, every single day, every single prayer, all at the same time. That's something that only our God can do. He's the only one that can do that. Maybe some of y'all can relate to this right here at your house. Sometimes at my house, I have two boys, 20-year-old, 16-year-old. And sometimes, not all the time, sometimes at our house, the boys are trying to have a conversation with me through their bedroom with the door shut. Can anybody relate? And then I got my wife in the other part of the house trying to have a conversation with me. So I got one over here trying to have a conversation with me, another one over here trying to have a conversation with me. And I can't hear it all, and I can't handle it all. But you know what? Our God, He can hear it all, and He can handle it all. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to shush them. Have you ever had to shush anybody? Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Boy, my mama has shushed me a many times. Don't be talking while the Young and the Restless is on. Lord, have mercy. You get shushed, and if you don't shush, you might get slapped. Lord, have mercy. Stop. Our God has the ability to be everywhere and to hear everyone at all times. He's everywhere at all times. David, King David, David the Great, he said this in Psalm 139, 7 through 12. Listen to this. David said, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become a night, but even in the darkness, I cannot hide from you. Hello, God is everywhere, always. He's everywhere always. David declared, it don't matter. You can go up. You can go down. You can go into the night. You can go into the morning. You can go into the dark. You can go into the light. But you can't hide from God. He's everywhere always. God is there. I want to just encourage you this morning, friend. God is there. He's always there. He's there with you in your house. He's there with you in your car, in your truck. He's there with you in that doctor's appointment. He's there on that operating table. He's there in that rehab. He's there in that prison. He's there at your work. He's there on the battlefield. He's there on the storm. He is our God. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere always, and only God can do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to ask you this question this morning. How many of you have ever been through, and you may be there right now, you've been through situations and circumstances in life, and you ask this question right here. God, where are you? Come on, I'll raise it for you. I know we all have. We've been through situations. We've been through circumstances. We've had moments in our life. We've asked the question, God, where are you? A disease or a disability hits your home, hits your spouse, hits your children. God, where are you? Tragedy takes the life of someone very special to you. A person that you love is gone way too soon. God, where are you? Trying to cope with death, whether it be a death through sickness or death through a suicide or death through an overdose. God, where are you? Maybe a marriage that had been strong over many years and then destroyed because of infidelity. God, where are you? A career that you've been involved in all your life and now you find yourself looking at a loss of a job. God, where are you? God, where are you? If we're honest, we can all say that we've been there at times crying out to God, where are you? And so I look around here this morning, and some of you have had those where are you, God, moments many times in your life. Some of you are there right now. I've had my share over 51 years of those moments crying out to God, where are you? And I just want to take a few minutes right here, and can I just tell you just a few things that I've learned in those where are you God moments. One thing I want to tell you that I've learned, and I want you just to take it in and you can write it down or you can just say he don't have a clue what he's talking about. But one thing I will tell you that I've learned in those where are you God moments is that somehow, some way, when you get in those moments, you get to a place where you have these crazy feelings that begin to just flood your mind. And the devil, the enemy will come and he will whisper all these lies to you. And one of the lies that he will whisper to you is he'll tell you that you are all alone, that God has abandoned you. And I want you to know this morning, that is a lie from hell, because I know and I've learned God is still with me right in those moments of those situations in my life. God is still there. He's still there. He's still there. And God has taught me that you have to look for him. You have to look for the Lord in those moments. When you think that God is absent, that's when you need to look for him. You need to look for God in the details, because the details prove that he's right there with you in those where are you God moments. Please hear me. I'm trying to give you some advice, because sooner or later you're going to be in that moment. And you're going to be asking the question, God, where are you? You need to make sure you look for God in the details, because the details prove that he's right there. Listen, it's God right there with you, giving you strength to keep you going. It's not you. I've learned that. It is not you. God is the one giving you the strength to keep going. God is right there with you, giving you new mercy for that day. God is right there with you, giving you peace that surpasses all understanding. God is right there with you, helping you not go insane. With you, surrounding you with loving family and loving friends who are always encouraging you. It's God right there with you, placing people of faith around you and surrounding you that are praying for you. You need to look for God in the details, because the details prove that he's right there. It doesn't mean the situation is not difficult. It doesn't mean it's not hard. It doesn't mean that it's easy, but God is still right there with you. But you have to look for him, because the details prove that he's right there. Let me tell you something else I've learned. Be grateful for what God is doing in those where are you God moments. Be grateful. Be grateful to God for what he's doing, even in those moments where you're asking, where are you, God? This past Wednesday, my wife and I stood in the living room of a very precious family connected here to this church, a brokenhearted family, that was about to bury their loved one the next day. And we got ready to pray with this family. And before we prayed, I just felt the Lord impressing some things on my heart to share with them that I had learned and had walked through. And all I could say to this family was, stay grateful to God through the questions. Stay grateful to God through the "where are you, God" moments in your life. Stay grateful to God. Stay grateful to God through the pain. Stay grateful to God through the panic. Stay grateful to God even through the grief. Because when you stay grateful, here's what happens. Gratitude will open your eyes to see that God is right there. Gratitude will open your eyes. I'm telling you, I've learned this. You stay grateful. Have a heart of gratitude even in those moments. And if you look around, you'll see God right there working. You'll see Him in the details. You'll see Him, His hand at work. Because gratitude will open the eyes of God's presence, His omnipresence. Ungrateful people never see God. Ungrateful people never see God because here's what happens. They're ungrateful and all they're doing is they're locked in on those moments in their life. They're locked in on those situations and they're locked in on all the questions instead of focusing on God and giving Him the glory and giving Him the praise. When you start thanking God in the "where are you, God" moments, you will see His presence. You'll see that God is working things out. You'll see God behind the scenes. You'll see God in front of you. You'll see God behind you. You'll see God in all of it because gratitude opens our eyes to see God can do something only He can do. So that's why you need to be grateful. Be grateful even in the "where you are, where are you, God" moments in your life. Look to your neighbor and say, be grateful. Now, the second thing I want you to see right here, and this is going to be quick, is we need to know our God is not only omnipresent, but He's omniscient. What does that mean? That means our God is all-knowing. He's all-knowing. Do you know anybody that thinks they know everything? Why? Don't look at the person. Lord, there's somebody up here pointing. Oh, it's hot up here. God is omniscient. That means He's all-knowing God. I thought about this the other day because my son, for Christmas, he ordered a cold air intake for a Dodge Charger. And I said, son, who's going to put it on? He said, I am. This is my 16-year-old son, Lucas. He can't even get the batteries out of a remote and a TV. Jesus, help him. He'll be here second service. I don't think that was Holy Spirit inspired right there. But you know what? Man, he said, don't worry, Dad. I'm going to YouTube it. And you know what? He did. He YouTubed that thing, and he put that cold air intake in his car. Now, we had to have a little assistance. Thank you there, Johnny Kennedy and Mike Holmes, if you're watching. We appreciate that. But Lucas did it. He went on there, and he YouTubed it. If there's anything you need fixing, you can YouTube it now. And I got to thinking about this. Lord, help me. You know, YouTube is more for the men, and Pinterest is more for the women. And it never turns out the way it looks. I mean, on Pinterest, they're going, look at this. This is going to be, and do it. And it's like, why didn't it turn out that way? YouTube it, they make it look so easy, and then 12 hours later, you're still beating on something. Oh, Lord. But guess what? Our God never needs to YouTube anything. He don't need to YouTube anything to fix it. God is all knowing. He can fix anything. God can fix it. He is never caught off guard by what's happening in the world. He's never caught off guard by what's happening in your world. God knows all things. God knows everything. Nothing is hidden from Him. Daniel said it like this. In Daniel 2:22, he says, he reveals deep and secret things. He knows what's in the darkness, and light dwells with him. Amen. He knows. Listen, God knows what's in the darkness. When you can't see because of all the darkness in your life and the dark situations, that's the time when it's dark, you hold on to an all-knowing God who is right there in the darkness. He can see even when you can't see. You just hold on to him and let him bring you through it. Hallelujah. He's all-knowing. He can see through it. He knows all things. John said in 1 John 3:20, he says, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. That's only something God can do. Only God is all-knowing. I can't explain to you why things happen like they do. I've sat in houses, I've sat in cars with people that have been broken by tragedy. And they want an explanation. I don't know what to tell you, but I know this. Our God is all-knowing. He knows everything. And when everything kind of blacks out in life and it's dark in life, all I know is that he knows what's in the darkness. He knows what's in the darkness. And that's why we need to align our lives and our faith with God and his word, because he knows all things. Psalm 147:5 says, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. And when you consider all the darkness that we're facing in our world today, wouldn't you say that we desperately need an all-knowing God that is in, we need to invite him back into this nation. We need to invite him back into our homes, into our churches, into our courts, into our schools. Why do we need to invite this all-knowing God into our life, every aspect of our life? Because he knows what's best for us. You see, the problem is now we have rejected God's authority. We've refused to submit to God's word and who he is, that he's all-knowing. And we think that we're God, and we think we can define marriage. We can list a whole great number of different kinds of genders. But I'm telling you right now, we need to align ourselves with the word of God. And he's an all-knowing God. He knows what's best for us. And I promise you, if you do that, your life, listen, friend, it won't be easy, but it'll be a life that is full of purpose and full of peace, because you are walking in the will of God for your life. Amen. He's an all-knowing God. We need to invite him back into our lives, our homes. He knows what's best for us. You don't know what's best. I don't know what's best. But God knows what's best. We need to know that our God is omniscient. And the last thing I want to tell you here is that we need to know that our God is omnipotent. That means that God is all-powerful. He's all-powerful. Listen, I can assure you right now, I don't know what your concept is, but let me just tell you the truth of God's word. God never looks at a situation and thinks, this is too complicated for me. He never looks at a circumstance and says, this is too hard for me. This is way over my head for me. No, the Bible says that with God, all things are possible and nothing is too hard for him. Powerful God, all powerful. I love that song we were singing a while ago about the dominion and the power and the positions and how God stands above them all. When you think about all the people throughout our history that have come to power, and some had power at one time and they lost the power, some have come and some have gone, but only our God stands above them all. He is all powerful. He's not going anywhere. He's not going to come. He's not going to go. He's our God who rules. He reigns forever. He is an omnipotent God. He is all powerful. Revelation 19:6 says it like this. In Revelation 19:6, it says, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. He's all powerful. The Lord our God, he reigns with all power. He stands above them all. No one is equal. And he can do far more than we can ask, think, or imagine, because he's all powerful. He's all powerful. Ephesians 3:20-21 says, "Now to him who was able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think according to the power work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever." Hear me this morning, please. Only our God is all powerful. Only our God has the power to save. Only our God has the power to deliver, the power to heal, the power to protect, the power to provide. Only our God can do that. And when you know him, your faith will increase and you'll believe God for great things. It's not great faith you need. It's faith in a great God that you need. And when you know God and his greatness, you will trust God and you will acknowledge him in all of your ways. When you know God, his power will be made perfect in your weaknesses and his grace will be sufficient for you. When you know God, you will experience his power and his blessings. Know God and his power, you will see the hand of God at work in your life, taking what the enemy meant for evil, and God will turn it into good. When you know God, you will see him do the impossible. When you know God, you can only come to one conclusion, that there's some things that only God can do. When you know God, there's only one conclusion you can come to, and that is, how great is our God? How great is our God? Now, I'm getting ready to close this down. God's greatness. So I feel like we get in this place sometimes where we think that God is, and he is great, God's greatness. But because he's so great, we think there's some kind of distance between us and God. But I want to tell you this morning that God's greatness does not suggest that he is far away from us at all. God is great in power, he's great in might, and yet he is as close as the mention of his name. God is immeasurable in power, but he's intimate with his people. I want you to hear this verse I'm about to read to you. Listen to what I'm about to read. He's immeasurable in power, but he's intimate as the closest of his name. Listen to Psalm 147, verse 3. Oh, you're going to love this. Talking about God. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And then listen, the next verse. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our God and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. What I read to you right there is something only God can do. Only God can do it. I want you to think about this. God can be so near and dear to us that he can heal the brokenhearted. He can bind up our wounds. And at the same time, God is out in space where he's counting and naming the stars. That's how great our God is. How encouraging to know that God is so close to my life, to my heart, and yet he's in control of the whole entire universe. Now, I know a lot of you think that I probably didn't learn much in school. And I didn't. Lucas is a far better student than I ever was. Let me just smooth it over. He's in the beta club. I was in the F club. Fabulous. But I did learn a few things in school. I did. I learned a few things in school. It goes back to Miss Janie Stevens in elementary, right on to Miss Gail Morgan in science, and I'm dating myself now. But one thing that I did learn about science was the sun is a star, and it's the star that is closest to the earth. Did you know that? I knew that. Lord help him. Did you know this? And I know we're getting ready to, there's an eclipse happening tomorrow. in case you didn't know that. If you want to know what the meaning of the eclipse is tomorrow, there's an eclipse tomorrow. The sun, listen to this, the sun is 93 million miles away from the earth. 93 million miles away. Let's talk about this. Only God can take care of a star 93 million miles away and at the same time take care of a broken, wounded heart. That's how great our God is. He can take care of a star 93 million miles away, and yet at the same time, he can be near somebody that's brokenhearted and bind up our wounds. That's something only God can do. That's something only God can do. God can be in a labor and delivery room with a premature baby and being with a family that's about to give birth to that family, and God can be on the other side of the world at a graveside comforting somebody. Only God can do that. The Lord our God, He has His eye on everything and everyone at the same time. Listen to me, church. Only God can fix things in your life, and at the very same time while God's fixing things in your life, He can make the sun rise and the sun set. Man, we serve an awesome God. Only God can send rain and heal your pain at the same time. Only God can name the stars and count the stars and heal your scars at the same time. That's something only God can do. Pastor Kevin, if you guys want to come, and God is working. I want you to just take this with you right here. God is working by His power through His creation. And at the same time, God is working and involved in your personal life and experiences. He's doing that all at the same time. And that's something only God can do. Amen. And the reason why He can do it is because He's omnipresent. He is everywhere, always. He is with you at all times. He is omniscient. That means that he knows everything. He knows your name. He knows all the details of your life. He knows where you are right now. He knows what you're walking through right now. He's omniscient. And He's also a God who's omnipotent. That means that He's all-powerful, that nothing is too hard for Him. Listen, I don't care what you have going on in your life. I don't care what it looks like. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Nothing. Nothing. Hallelujah. And our response to knowing who God is, to knowing there's some things that only He can do, and you might be in a dark place right now, but God knows and sees even in the darkness. Let me tell you what your response needs to be. One, you need to trust God no matter what you have going on in your life. You need to trust God. You need to trust God. You need to trust God. And listen, here's what else you need to do. You need to look for the details. If you're here today and you're in that moment of asking the question, God, where are you? All I want to encourage you to do is look for God in the details. Look for God in the details. And be grateful. Be grateful. Be grateful in the pain. Be grateful in the grief. Be grateful in the questions. Just be grateful. And worship the Lord. Worship Him. And don't worry. Don't worry. Be encouraged that the God that we serve, the one true living God, that He holds the whole world in His hands. And He holds your world, and He holds my world. He's got you. He's got you. And we need to respond to Him. And you may be here this morning and you need to respond to Him because you need to be saved. He's the only God that can give you salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's something only God can do. Only God can give you a new start through Jesus Christ. Only God, through Jesus Christ, can forgive you of your sins. Only God can give you a future that's with Him in heaven. Thought about Moses. I'll probably talk about this a little more next week. Only God can turn a nobody into somebody. Only God can do it. You may be here this morning and you need that second chance. You know what second chance means? That new life? It just means you need to be born again. Spiritually, you need to be born again. You need to be saved. And I want to pray with you right now, and we're going to ask the Lord to work here. But right now, I need everybody just to bow your heads. Pray, pray, pray. Christians, pray. If you're here this morning, whether on campus or even through the live stream, and you need to be saved, you're in sin right now, and sin separates you from a holy God. For the wages of sin is death. That's an eternal death, an everlasting death in a place called hell. But the Bible says that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. You can be born again today. You can be born again spiritually. You can be saved. And that happens as you put your trust in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross for you and for me. Jesus made a way through the blood that He shed on Calvary that our sins could be washed away. For what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And friend, if you're here today and you need your sins, you need to be forgiveness of your sins, you're ready to respond to the gospel, you're ready to receive Jesus Christ to be your Lord, to be your Savior, to be your God, the one true living God that can change your future right there where you are, and you want the guarantee of heaven in your future. Nobody looking around, but you're here this morning and you want me to pray for you because you're ready to respond to this loving God and His grace and His mercy that He's extending to you right now for you to be saved. I want you to raise your hand. Be bold enough to raise your hand right now and say, "That's me." Would you respond? Would you be bold enough right now? Hold your hand up high where I could see it. Is there anybody here? You want to pray that you would receive salvation today through Jesus Christ? Anybody? Maybe you want to rededicate your life back to God. You've drifted away, but God is speaking to you this morning about you fully surrendering to Him. Come on, don't let the devil win this battle. Come on. God bless you. God bless you, ma'am. Anybody else? Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Just right there where you are, you can just pray, "Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I pray today that I will be born again spiritually through what you did for me on the cross at Calvary. You took my place. You shed your blood so that I would be rescued, so I would be redeemed. And God, today I put my faith in you. I turn from sin. I repent and I receive you to be my Lord, to be my Savior. And from this day forward, God, I will confess you as Lord. Confess you as Lord, Jesus, over my life. And give you the glory and give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen." Come on, let's give the Lord praise.